This is a Hot Pie Media original. Welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and I am so stoked about today's episode because it's going to change your life, I casually say. That's right. It is. I know. It's a big statement, and I don't care because it's totally 100% true. I feel that in my soul. There's electricity in here after these guys just left. I don't even have my shoes on because they did a short session with me right before we started the interview. And what that means is they did their practice, which is called dojoing. So it's called the thrivedojo.com. You can go check it out. And it is a system of restorative exercise, essentially. But it's really small muscle movements in a very focused way. And well, I'm going to let them tell you because they can tell you a lot better than I can. But it's about paying attention and improving our whole system. So if you've got pain somewhere random, like your ankle, that's okay. You can do this to muscles that seem completely unrelated and it will improve your entire system. They have concrete examples. They are building this out into something that is game changing. Every single person, 100% of people that do this have results, including me, because I had some pain I wasn't even aware of with something that we did before we came on here, which I think Kyle will be sharing on his very popular YouTube channel, Kyle Got Camera. And afterward, I didn't have that pain and I still don't. It's so wild. So I am so excited. So it's Skip Kelly and Kyle Lasota. Kyle has a very popular YouTube, as I said, called Kyle Got Camera. You can find him there as well. You can find Skip at Skip Kelly. And then it is called The Thrive Dojo. So I'm so excited to dive into this today. Don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter if you haven't yet, amyedwards.com, or go to my link tree anywhere that I have socials, which is The Magic Babe on TikTok or at Real Amy Edwards on Instagram. And it's right there. You can sign up for the newsletter and we keep you up to date on these badass interviews with the links so you can find everybody, although the links are as well in the show notes, and keep you just shining a little bit brighter every Monday with my Shine Bright and Stay Focused newsletter. So I'm so excited to do this today. If you like it, or even if you don't, or if you have some thoughts, tell us in the reviews. I want to know, or you can reach out to me anytime you want. I'm Amy at amyedwards.com. All right. I'm so excited to get with these badasses today, Kyle Lasota and Skip Kelly. And they are going to speak about how they came together in this, how they've built this. And Skip talks about his injury when he was young, 18, to his back, and how he lives without pain now, after years of pain. It is enlightening and interesting. And Kyle talks about how this has changed his personality and changed how he is in the world. And up until the very end, I just found it so full of useful information and what this system can bring to your life. So I could not be more stoked to share it. Sometimes you just meet someone and you're like, oh yeah, what you say is completely speaking to me. And that's the way it was when I met Kyle, because I didn't even meet Skip. I met Kyle first. And what he was telling me, I was like, this is incredible. And I want to share it on the show. Please come. And he was like, okay. And so they showed up I think we met 10 days ago. So I love, love, love when that happens. And you could tell I'm even like firing about it. I'm so excited. So anyway, let's get to today's episode. And remember that you can go to the Thrive Dojo, thethrivedojo.com, and find all their information. If you go to thethrivedojo.com/thrivedojo course, it's right there on the homepage though. That'll tell you everything about the course that they're talking about today, which is audio sessions that anyone can do. And you can train yourself so you don't even need it. It's a toolbox you have within yourself. You just got to learn how to use it. It's so badass. So let's get to it. Today's episode with the founders of the Thrive Dojo, Kyle Lasota and Skip Kelly. It's okay. Skip and Kyle are here.
And we've already been through it. So we're starting the interview, sort of. It's already started. I'm lining a little Palo Santo. What's your intention coming here today?
Just for me, it's like just spread the gospel of health and wellness, you know, and mm-hmm. of this crazy thing that I discovered with my friend. And just to educate people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For them to be healthier, yeah. and feel better, yeah. right? Just about feeling better. What about you? What's your intention today? Same thing?
To be really present.
Yeah. You look very present, Skip. Like you just look you straight in the eye. I mean, like, do you meditate? This is a form of meditation,
yes.
isn't it? Because you call it what? If meditation and yeah. yoga or working out?
If meditation and exercise had sex and had a baby, that's kind of what the dojo is like.
Yeah. All right. So we've already done a 5-minute practice on me or 10 minute or something like that. I'm feeling really present and really good, which oftentimes I just tap into my breath and sit and all that. But this is such a small movement that can really affect not only your physiology, but your mental state and awareness too. Super interesting. And I know that you have a very interesting story of, I guess, how you discovered this. I watched a video about it. Do you want to tell some about that? About you were in pain for years?
Yeah. So when I was 18, I got into a soccer accident mm-hmm. and I injured my entire lumbar spine and my sacrum. And for 3 years, I was
How old were you? You were 18?
I was 18. Oof. Yeah. Yeah. It was rough.
Yeah.
And back then, there was some knowing that surgery was probably not a good idea at that age. And that.
How old are you now?
I'm 32 now.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went on a big journey of mm-hmm. trying all of the things. And, you know, I'm so grateful for it now because it really thrust me into the deep end. I think a lot of people have to wait a long time to have physical challenges that push them towards learning these things or investigating these things. And I was like 18 years old, off the deep end, right? And I went through and I learned all the things, you know, all the corrective exercise stuff. I ended up becoming 100% commissioned personal trainer, doing corrective exercise therapy with people because of the things I had learned. So by 19, I was helping other people with their injuries.
But you were still in pain.
Yeah, yeah. Because my thing was so much more severe than someone who had an ankle injury or a knee injury or mm-hmm. a hip injury. It was like to have the core of your whole body be so destabilized. And there's not a lot of good solutions for that outside of surgery, or at least there weren't in my purview back then, right? Mm-hmm. So along that journey, I ended up finding something that accidentally worked overnight. And then I was like, okay, let me dig really deep into what just happened and how that was possible. And as I went down that path, I helped lots of other people and really healed so many things. However, those people were all dependent on me. Right. And I just started to notice, like, every time I would move states or I'd move places, I always felt this call, like, I've helped this many people with these types of injuries, you know, how many ACL tears and how many people who had, like, I had people who were like quadriplegics. I had people who were like the worst of the worst. Right.
And what results did they see?
I mean, everyone had great results.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, when I would leave, they would all slide back downhill. Not completely, right? Mm-hmm. I'd say they at least maintained half. And then there became a point where I said, there's got to be a system. There's got to be some way for them to maintain it because I can't be with them forever. That's not what I'm feeling called to do. I'm feeling very called to continue to go on and like wave that sword.
I think that's so common with therapy. People just get into it and just stay with it for years and years and years rather than like, okay, how can I introduce these practices in my own life without relying on something outside myself? Mm. Which really, we have everything we need. Sometimes we just don't know it. I mean, you're just moving muscles around, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and that gets into a deep conversation quickly. So,
okay, it's oversimplified, but still.
Yes, yes and, right?
Yes and.
So eventually I start giving people homework. Right? Mm-hmm. Of like very simple things. And I started to notice when people were doing their homework, they would come in for a session and I'm like, wow, I have nothing to work with you on. Let's go work out and do some crazy stuff. And I was like, okay, so that's interesting. Like I remember this one guy in particular, Gene Antonitis, and he's still like a friend of mine and he's awesome. And he was so intense. Like there was one day I came into the gym and I have all these whiteboards and people, I was the whiteboard guy. I had these mm-hmm. giant whiteboards. I had three at one point just surrounding my area. And everyone knew me as like the nerd, right? And he was drawing a whole skeleton on the whiteboard and setting it up for me so that when I got there, he could tell me exactly what he was feeling was going on. And I'm like, okay, this is getting intense. Mm-hmm. That my clients are able to delineate what they're feeling in such a specific way, sensitivity being the primary thing, right?
Wow.
So it wasn't until years after I started giving people homework that I had been on a big spiritual journey. I'd been traveling the world for a while. I tried to make content trying to teach people all this stuff because I quickly found out it didn't really matter what your injury was or what challenges you were facing. The solution was always the same. The solution was always to take care of the system, because I'll give you an example. I had this lady with crazy plantar fasciitis in both feet, right? She'd wake up every day. She'd be so scared to get out of bed because the second her feet would touch the ground, her heels would burst into such pain that she would just start to cry. And for about the first 20 minutes of her day, she'd be in tears walking around because it was so painful. And I saw her one time, and it was her right shoulder that I was like, you know, that's like the thing that's showing up, right? And this is before I had all
We talked about my right shoulder. Is this common with women?
Yeah.
Your face when you said that.
Closed off emotions.
It's like you're apologizing for all men, I think.
I'm sorry. So I did a little bit of stuff on her right shoulder. And I was like, okay, well, let's like do some more. And then let's check. This is like 20 minutes into me meeting her, right?
Okay.
And I'm on one side of this table and she gets off the table that way and her feet touch the ground and she just stops. And I go, oh, crap. Like, I'm sure she's crying, right? Because anytime she sits for too long and it's painful. And she turns around and she's crying. And I'm like, oh, and she runs over and hugs me. And I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, there's no pain. And I'm like, wait, we did like two things on your right shoulder. Like, how is that even possible? Like,
is that possible?
Biomechanically, I can like draw that out and explain why that would happen. Like, if your right shoulder is forward and it's got this thing, it's going to alter the way the rest of your body is moving. But to instantly have no pain, that's strange. So then that instance, plus some other ones like the quadriplegic regaining some function, stuff like that.
All kind of led
me down a path of being like, okay, the biomechanics are not the only thing happening here. I don't know what is, I'm going to go on a journey. So that was 2012 when that instance happened. Mm-hmm. And it was all the way until I would say 2019 or 2020 when I really got to the bottom of that story. And when I say the bottom, I cracked a shell that exposed an entire universe of awareness.
There's a new bottom.
A whole bunch of stuff that was really going on on the back end.
Which
that,
is what?
Well, that's why I say like the number one thing is sensitivity. Uh-huh. So just feeling is the most important thing you can do for your physical health. So I have a great friend who's got like two master's degrees in nutrition and we go back and forth all the time on health in general. And I am not a nutrition expert. And so it's really cool to have conversations with her. And we agreed there's like three things important for your health. Feel your feelings is number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is move your body. And number three is eat whole foods to the best of your ability, right? And that's like the three things, and other things will spiral in a good way because of those things. But we did agree, feel your feelings is number one, whether that's physically, whether that's understanding your own thoughts, your emotions, and anything beyond the physical, mental, emotional that is coming in for you.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then you talk about feeling and sensitivity within our body. So feeling in general, really, because just the other day, I happened to watch this video about twerking on TikTok and she was like leaned forward and then she was like, you're going to move this muscle, like the one up here, like your upper glute or whatever. And I was like, I don't even know how to move that muscle. Like it's hard for me to find. And I was like, huh. And then it just made me think about exactly what you're saying. We have all these muscles in our body that we're not even paying attention to. They may be doing their job or they may not. But we're not even attuned in to everything.
Yeah. And so every area, every movement, every muscle is part of like your vessel for this lifetime, right? And as a part of that, muscles produce and let's call it encourage serotonin, dopamine, oxytocin, norepinephrine, and millions of other things in your body, right? So every muscle, I think of it as like an opportunity for happiness, an opportunity for sadness, an opportunity for feeling, right? And so think of it as like a, not so much a gas tank, but maybe horsepower in the car, right? Mm-hmm. And that horsepower is not just for physical strength or speed. It's also for the ability to be present. It's also for the ability to be your best self, to show up for the people that you love in your life. So when I think about muscle, I don't think about necessarily going to the gym and like exercising really hard, although that is amazing and important for long-term physical health. But at least being able to feel your muscles, like yeah. once you've had the experience that you just had, and then if we can do like a track at some point and really mm-hmm. give you a full body experience. So what yes, we just please. Did, I said, tonight. I always call that yes. like understanding what's going on mm-hmm. is what we just did. When I usually meet someone one-on-one, which I love to meet people one-on-one, or we have like our live experiences at Soho House, I say, do you want to understand how to feel better, or do you want to feel it first? And most people say they want to feel it. Mm-hmm. And so we have these dojo tracks we've created, right? Most of them live inside the course, but some of them are publicly available. And when you have that full body experience and you have just a little bit of context, the way that you feel after bringing that awareness, bringing that love into all of these different movements and muscles in your body, mm-hmm. it's an incredible experience. People have like radical transformations in a short period of time if they're open. Right. And not everybody is open, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
And some people have to do it like frequently. It's very rare. I would say like 9 out of 10 people have a pretty great experience right out of the gate. And then 1 out of 10 are like, I'm not feeling much at all. And I'm like, that's true of their whole life, those people. And I know we all know these people, and that's okay. And that's why even
for them, it's a defense mechanism. It's how you cope.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing too. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say for some people, the dojo can be quite frictiony.
Yeah.
Because as you increase sensitivity in your body, you also increase sensitivity in your life.
Yeah. Well, it's a somatic healing. It's a type of mm-hmm. somatic healing. Mm-hmm. Do you call yourself a...
No.
No.
No, not necessarily.
Like we try to keep it pretty physical.
Yeah. I also think it's like kind of like what I talked about in the video. It's like we're kind of figuring out how to communicate this in the best way, because to give you context, like I was living with Skip 5 years ago, I think, six years ago.
How'd you guys meet?
Yes, it's a great story. We went to an event like separately, mm-hmm. and we met in Las Vegas. And really funny story is when I first met Skip, one of the first things he asked me was, what's your thing? And I was like, oh, what do you mean? What's my thing? And he's like, oh, your injury. What's your injury?
Oh.
And I was like, what? Like, and to be honest, I really didn't like him when I first met him. I thought it was really weird, but... The universe brought us together in Orange County. I was in Orange County. He was in Orange County. And when he was making videos, I was making videos. So we just kind of bonded over that. And then as things evolved, he was traveling. I moved into his house. When he came back, we were living together, spending a lot of time. And I was noticing he was doing these like weird little movements. He was always like laying down and like rocking his feet up and down mm-hmm. and like turning his hips. And like he was always standing kind of weird. And like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm at the time, we called it priming. He's like, oh, I'm priming. And I'm like, what is that? And then he'd be at the gym and he'd be lifting all slow and like meditative like and weird. And I'd be like, you know, doing these things. Uh-huh. And God bless his soul. He didn't tell me how deep he had ever gone down that rabbit hole and how much of an expert he really was. I had no understanding. And I would like make fun of him for his shoes and his weird toe socks and like all these things, you know?
He was like, someday you'll understand. He's like sitting here like peaceful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. totally. He never said a word. But, mm-hmm. You know, we were just hanging out. We were doing our business stuff and making videos and traveling and having fun making friends around the world. And it was a really cool time. But, you know, I was struggling, silently suffering with like some health issues. And I was like learning things as I was going through this journey myself. And like eventually I started just trying what Skip was doing because he seemed to know a lot about health stuff. And I started to feel well, you know, I started to feel good when I did it. And I was like, yeah, I feel really calm. I feel very relaxed. Like my shoulder pain was like getting better. And it was just really interesting. And I found myself like starting to do it a lot, like a lot. And everyone would start asking me, well, Kyle, what are you doing? You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and I realized that Skip had created something that was really special. And I'm a marketer and a businessman. And I just was like, dude, we gotta like make something of this. But like timing wasn't right. You know, I had my own thing. He had his own thing. He was doing something like living a different type of lifestyle. I was living a different type of lifestyle. And it just wasn't like aligned in that moment. But it, the the voice in my head kept getting bigger of like, no, this has to be something. This has to be something.
Well, when you described it to me, we met a couple weeks ago, and you said this is like Pilates when it started or some. Yeah. What else did you say?
Yeah, I said this is going to be as big as a yoga or a Pilates.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be its own category. New way to think about exercise.
And you call it Dojo?
Yeah, right now. That's what it's called.
That's what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you call it that?
You got a good answer for that one, Skip?
Not really.
No?
There's like answers.
But your body is a temple dojo type of thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. So we used to call it the prehab dojo because prehabbing is what we...
I saw that on the website.
Yeah, so priming is what we originally called it because I felt like that was accurately describing what was happening in the body. Mm-hmm. It's like you're literally priming it.
Okay.
Right? And then, you know, I'm also a big Tony Robbins fan.
Me too.
And he teaches priming. And I was like, that's going to be in super conflict at some point. Mm-hmm. And lots of Tony people and stuff in my life. So I was like, okay, let's get maybe a more accurate term. And prehabbing is a term that is used and it is kind of that. However, over time, I started to realize like we're not exactly doing that either because prehabbing is strictly injury prevention.
Right. And you're doing something different.
Yeah, it's a whole ecosystem too. So what I just showed you is like the most basic, most essential skill. Also, maybe the most valuable one that we teach, although it goes much further than that, right? So that's like, how do you feel better really quickly? The 60-second protocol. If you ever get an injury, now you can do.
Do you teach that outside your courses or something? Is that something you can tell right now? Like,
yeah. That's our current like opt-in because I feel like it is the most valuable thing. So if people want to have like a really beautiful, quick experience, but it is the understanding route. So I actually want people to have like a choice to do the understanding or the feeling route.
Oh,
because
cool.
The six zone, like you're seeing, you're like, you can now understand. And I kind of taught you a little bit about why you feel different versus like just having the dojo experience. So like if someone comes to Soho House classes, which are always free, but it is like, there is a cap and all of that stuff. When they go to that, then they're like, okay, why do I feel so crazy different? Because that's also 60 minutes. Can you imagine doing that for 60 minutes?
Yes, I can. I want to do it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yes, can you describe what you did for me, though? I want people to at least understand so it's not so vague.
Yeah, so the six zone assessment. So think about it like this. If you've got a body, right? And we're just going to go with the premise of having an injury because that's the easiest way to kind of associate. So think about any time you've ever had an injury. And you're saying, okay, I have this physical pain and there's got to be some sort of physical thing creating that pain. So the number one belief of the dojo atop everything else is that your body is perfect. It's always perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. And the reason I say that and kind of what I alluded to earlier when we were doing that thing with you is that there is so much going on, even in like the 3D sense of your body, like the physiology of it, that no one has any idea what's actually happening. There's just too much going on.
Well, you likened it to the keypad. What'd you say?
Oh yeah. That was a really great analogy.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's say you had a 3-digit lock with 0 through 9 as potential numbers. There's 1,000 potential combinations to unlock it. If you add a 4th digit, now there's 10,000. A 5th digit, there's 100,000, 1,000,000, 10,000,000. This is a multi-billion digit lock. The amount of combinations, it's probably much greater than that, but just think that it's really almost like the universe, like ever expanding and innumerable. Mm-hmm. And there's so much stuff, even in human blood, that we're like, what is that? Like as an example, right? Like in the, I had an interview drop with Steve Young where he's like 78% of our genome, our DNA is biophotons, which means like 22% of us is physical light. And 78% of us is light.
Light? Yeah.
What do we do with that?
Like, you're made of
like,
light.
What do we do with that? Like, how do we, you know, it's where there's just so much that we don't understand.
I just kind of got chills a little bit.
So there's so much that we don't understand that I go with the premise of like, okay, whatever this thing is choosing to exhibit, whatever symptoms you're feeling must be perfect because it's so much smarter than all of us.
I think,
though our consciousness is in it.
I think something to add to that that was really helpful for me as I grew with these understandings is like another part that I felt was important is when people are thinking about injury, you know, fixing an injury, you're thinking about fixing a problem. Like there's something wrong with me. right?
Right. We label it instantly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so going into your body physically to like fix something is like, there's always going to be something to fix. You're always going to be looking for what's wrong, not what's right. And so the belief, like holding the belief of the body is perfect, is a really, really empowering and beautiful way to navigate having an injury and just understanding your body at a deeper level. And so it took me forever to really get what Skip said when he said your body is perfect. But the reason why you're experiencing a pain or discomfort or tension or anything is for a reason, and the body doesn't make mistakes, right? So we're not working against our body. Our body's not like doing something to us. So we don't need to fix anything.
Can I geek out?
Yeah, sure.
Can I geek out for a second?
I love geeking.
I know I'm still answering that question,
yeah,
but this is kind of mind blowing, mm-hmm, that if everyone can join me on this exploration real quick of wiggling my finger and what that entails, you'll start to understand the ridiculousness of what existing is.
Okay.
Okay. So if you put your hand down, and you just lift your finger, mm-hmm, right? And then you bring that finger down. To do that, your body... So number one, right? We have a consciousness. We have no idea what that means, right?
No, we
don't.
So
that's a whole gray area of like, okay, unknown, right? That consciousness said, I'm going to lift my finger now. We all decided we could do that. Your body now has to deliver not just an electrical signal, not just like the lights turn on, but an electrical signal that originates here, right? Comes up, gives a charge to certain things in the brain. The brain goes, okay, there's a homunculus up here that controls and is sort of like, have you ever seen the movie Inside Out? It's like joy, yeah, grief, right, anger. Mm-hmm. Someone's turning up a switch. Now, here's a crazy part about that switch. The way that muscles work, because we're in gravity, right? Gravity is always pushing. Every muscle in your body is contracting at all times. That's why when I say things like relax everything to the best of your ability, because it's impossible to relax everything. If you did, when you're under anesthesia in the hospital, they have to tie your arms down because if your arm fell off, it would dislocate. Because if muscles aren't contracting, there's nothing else holding it there, right? So it literally has to be contracting, okay, right? Mm-hmm. So this electricity, you have an intention, mm-hmm, right? The intention, there's electricity, they turn up the lever, but instead of turning up the lever, it's really turning it down. Because if muscles are always contracting, think of it as a water pipe, just like water pipes at home, there's always pressure. For you to squeeze something and intentionally move something, you're actually releasing the valve, not turning it on.
Okay.
So when I do that, the electricity has to come down. But think about this, raw electricity, if it weren't directed, it would mean you'd like snake everything on the way, right? So somehow your body is coordinating that electricity in such a way that it's not activating everything else on the way down. Or is it? And that's like a whole nother thing, right? But it's literally, you're able to do this such a specific motion, and then it's able to literally change the amount of tension. Because think about this, right? If it was just a zap, lift it would go like this and it would like just lift, right? Mm-hmm. But you're able to do that, which means it's literally pulling on the opposite side so that you can control the speed. So it's like, how many signals is this thing sending? And muscles, good muscles, contract between 30 and 120 times a second. So they're always vibrating, and electricity is vibration, mm-hmm, right? And if they're vibrating really quickly, you can't tell that they're vibrating. So when you hold out your hand and you know you're like jittery, if you can see it vibrating, that means you're actually
lower,
at a low frequency.
If
you can't see it, it's still vibrating just crazy fast. So you can't tell.
I love this.
Are you getting how ridiculous this is now?
I already think about it sometimes.
It's crazy.
So I love this.
So when you go in somewhere and someone's like, wow, your body's really messed up, I'm like,
no, your body's perfect.
It's like so great, well, and so incredible, well, that you're alive.
It is. It is. Yeah. And the power of our minds and our words and the words that we use in our own beliefs has so much command over our bodies. So I have had like experiences where I'm very, very careful what I think about my body. Because one time, I'll tell you these. One time, I really wanted to quit breastfeeding. I was sick of it. I was like, I'm over it. I'd breastfed for 11 months. And I was like, and that same day, I was really like, I'm really ready to be done. It hit me hard that day. And then later that day, I saw somebody in a picture with me and her legs were thin and nice. And I was like, I wish I had thinner legs. And I was like, I really do. The next day I fell while running, a freak accident, broke my leg, hyperextended my leg, tore my ACL, smashed my tibial plateau. And that's the metal that I have in my leg. But I quit breastfeeding because I had to go in the hospital and I got thinner legs. So, I mean, like after that, I was like, oh, shit,
careful.
I got to be careful. So then like years later, I was in the shower one day and I had like a little hernia from my second pregnancy on my belly button. And I was like, I am so tired of this. I hate this hernia. I want it gone. Literally that night I start having stomach pains and I'm like, I don't feel good. And the next, like the, no, it was that night I start complaining. I didn't feel good. The next day, my husband at the time was like, you look kind of green. And I was like, I don't feel right. Well, anyway, long story short, I had appendicitis. We go to the hospital and everything. I see the doctor and he's like, yeah, we're taking your appendix out like, you know, now. And I'm like, oh, and I'm like, hey, he's like, we go in through here, through your belly button, through here. And I go, hey, through my belly button, do you think you could fix this little hernia that I've got right there? And he's like, yeah, no problem. And wow. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway.
No, I mean, this is huge. No, this is absolutely huge.
And I've decided just recently that I want my IUD out. And I'm like, I want my IUD out. I start, like, they can't fit me in for months. I'm like, can I just reach in there and pull it out or what? You know, I'm talking to Justin about it. I'm looking at articles. I'm having pain where my IUD is. And I'm like, that's not good probably. But anyway, I'm just like, feel like we have to watch it. You have to watch it. So keep saying my body is perfect.
Yeah.
This body is perfect. Everything's fine.
This is it. And me having gone through all the health stuff that I did and still like deal with, it's such a good reminder and it's such a good foundation to build everything upon, because when you go into every healing session or every prehab session, you're not thinking, oh, let me go fix what's broken. It's like, let me just go give some love. Let me go give some attention. Let me go give some awareness to my body that's asking for, you know, some attention, you know, let's just give it what it's asking for.
So what we just did, to kind of get that last little bit to kind of complete that loop of the electricity and
I didn't mean to interrupt that. Yeah.
Your organs, like your heart, your lungs, your brain, your esophagus, your intestines, that's all muscle. So it all is functioning on that same vibration or electrical system that the dojo is working with, right? Mm-hmm. So the 60-second protocol, so we helped you find out what was working well and what was not working as well, like where we had room for improvement, right?
Well, you actually gasped at my shoulder.
I did gasp.
It was great. It was great. I was like, oh, we found something.
Yeah. And the more things that we find, the better, because then there's room to increase these frequencies, right, of the muscle. And when I say frequency, it's a physical thing in the most essential sense of the term. So when you moved your shoulder, if it's really like awkward or if it's really not smooth when you're trying to move it, people are like, oh, it's just awkward. I need to practice that. I'm like, no, it's just a very, very low frequency that we can increase really quickly by just giving it some attention and practicing that higher rate of movement, right? So when I say frequency in the muscle, I mean like the amount that it squeezes. And by just giving it some awareness, like he's saying, in intensity and squeezing those muscles, we can increase that frequency. The cool part about that is we're not forcing it. We're just putting that awareness, putting that energy into it with that intention of increasing it. And if the body decides it's a good thing, it will. Mm-hmm. So when we think about that, all of these organs are controlled by muscle, then we think about, okay, they're all needing that same electrical love, so to speak, right?
Electrical love.
And so the analogy I gave you earlier was, okay, so we're figuring out where the frequencies are lower and where they're higher. Right? We're figuring out where the sensitivities are lower and where they're higher. And we're trying to meet everything in this like beautiful place where it just feels wonderful to move. So after we did the 60-second protocol to increase the frequencies, it just felt cleaner, right? It felt like nice to move those areas. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what it should feel like. It should feel nice. Imagine if your whole body felt like nice to move.
I think that sounds fantastic.
And with that, if you have like an old school set of Christmas lights and one Christmas light goes out, it's possible that many of them will go out. And if you can find that one and you redo it and you plug it back in, maybe all of them go back on. And that's what I started to see with people. And that's why I say, no matter what their problem was, the solution ended up being the same in the long run, which was improve the system. And when I say improve, it's really like give attention, give awareness, like live in this practice of giving love and like appreciating it and squeezing these things and increasing the frequency of the system. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, it improves the entire system. So they're like, I have an ankle injury. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Improve the system. So, I have a neck injury. It doesn't matter. Improve the system. I have like biomechanical references and there's other experts and you can listen to your doctor and stuff on what you want to work on. However, without fail, if you work on anything in the system, it will improve the whole system. It may not improve the exact thing you're looking for with this one movement, but it will improve the whole system. And it's really untold what that's going to affect. And that's what we've been discovering over time with the dojo. So does that answer that question?
I think so. And it raised more.
And back to the dojo, you know, experiencing that smooth movement, mm-hmm. what happens is the more you start to practice this, the better your body awareness becomes and the more spatially aware you become as well. So
ninja,
exactly. You become like a ninja. So certain you'll find if you do this consistently is like you'll slip like because the ground is wet, right? And you'll slip in like you're carrying a plate and you drop the plate, but then you catch the plate.
Mm-hmm. Like so think about
in
right
a split second.
If your muscles are all squeezing, let's say 15 times a second, there's some room to correct a movement as it's going weary, right? Or wrong. Uh-huh. If it's squeezing 100 times a second, those muscles are capable of like adjusting so quickly, right? So,
yeah. So that's, it's like the practice is kind of like becoming a ninja, right? Because mm-hmm. ninjas can like, they could land like really quietly, like a cat, or they can like kick a, you know, this thing that's really high up. But like, I notice I play ping pong a lot at my house with my roommates. We have a ping pong table. We go pretty hard.
It's really intense.
Yeah. Like I think I genuinely might be able to go like professional in like a year or two, that's how I played 600 games in the last 3 months. I noticed that
I'm impressed that you tracked that.
We have a scoreboard. So, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if I do dojo before I play ping pong, I'm not getting beat. Because no matter where the ball is, I'm hitting it. And my reflexes are so much faster. Because
The Matrix.
Yeah, literally. Because I'm so tuned in to exactly where my body needs to be to do said activity.
And we could get like our 100 most intense dojo people around the table and they would all say that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
And how long a day would you do it?
You don't even necessarily have to do it every day.
Yeah, but nice. I would say I noticed a substantial difference if I do 20 minutes. I'll notice a good difference if I do 10 minutes. I notice a decent difference if I do two minutes.
So like what you just did with me where I moved my shoulder and focused on that.
Yeah.
Like if you could just do that several times a day.
Yeah.
Or even once a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because again, it's about improving the system as a whole.
Right.
And the thing to understand is that life is going to generally lower the frequency of those muscles. You'll trip, you'll stretch too far, you'll get a cramp, you'll slam a door on your hand. Things happen, right? That will degrade the system. And so the dojo is a way to like heal the system. Mm-hmm. So it's really just about how hard are you pushing the physical body? And then how much time are you spending healing the physical body, right? Mm-hmm. So front loading can be really valuable with it as people get interested. So like I turn into Yoda if I do like an hour a day.
Yeah. Full Zen mode. You go into monk mode for sure.
And it's like, it's different than meditation because it's really hard to meditate for that long. It's really like 2 hours a day of meditation.
I've never done it. I like to meditate.
It can be challenging until you really get into that. To dojo for 2 hours a day can be quite easy because you're listening to like a guided thing. You're physically moving.
Yeah, you're doing something.
You're doing a lot of things.
Yes.
And a lot of the times, like I know we've had this experience, if you do like an hour long track or a live experience, which is an hour, the first like 3 minutes, I'll be like, okay, how long is this going to be? Like what? And then I'll cross that 3 minute mark and then I will wake up at the end of it essentially.
Yeah.
Cause you get into such a state of flow cause it's pulling you into it.
And we've measured this through
brainwaves, HRV,
all this stuff.
Really?
Yeah. So it just drops you right into delta and into theta
and gamma.
It's really amazing. And it actually has been the most powerful tool for me to increase my heart rate variability. And I have a YouTube channel where I talk about all this stuff. This is the number one thing for recovery, for what's called the RMSSD score for heart rate variability. All that means is you get a recovery score if you wear a Whoop or an Oura Ring or any of those other trackers, right? Mm-hmm. That is the RMSSD score. That's the best measurement for your overall recovery. And overall recovery, if we quantify that, that means the balance of your autonomic nervous system, meaning your ability to adapt between parasympathetic and sympathetic, mm-hmm. which means you have an adaptable nervous system. And it makes sense because prehabbing or the dojo is a nervous system activity, mm-hmm. right? We're strengthening that nervous system connection by connecting to our muscles.
Is it all you need? Do you do other stuff too?
Definitely. Yeah. So that's the reason why we changed from Prehab Dojo to Thrive Dojo mm-hmm. is because it is an ecosystem, right? So the same things that you learn, and we're getting ready to film like a whole segment on this stuff mm-hmm. and add it into, I'm not sure if we'll add it to like the main course on the site or this will be a separate thing. We have experimented in the past with like higher intensity exercise programs using the same information. Because like he was saying when he lived with me back in the day and didn't know, like he saw me at the gym doing things in a weird way, same movements. Like I can go to a CrossFit class and be dojoing. They won't even know. Like I'll be doing the same movements, but what I'm thinking about is very different because I'm attempting to feel the muscles. So sensitivity being number one, moving as smoothly as possible, keeping it at a low intensity when possible, and then really focusing on what I'm doing. And then there's a lot of other like cool nerdy things.
I think the big word here is intention. Mm. Like taking that level of focus and intention that you're doing while you are connecting to your muscles and bringing that into your everyday life and into your workouts. And it becomes this, it's a lifestyle where mm-hmm. you're just always dojoing. Like always. Right now.
Yeah, it's like mastery. It's like.
Like I'm just squeezing my left big toe right now, mm-hmm. you know, and then I'm going to gently release it. And that's automatically just going to make me way more present and I'm going to be way more zen and I'm going to be right here. And then all of a sudden my entire physiology changes, right? And you can do that at any point. And when you take that into your exercise, that's where the practice really starts to permeate your whole life. And mm-hmm.
and he's not necessarily consciously doing that.
It like becomes, he's done it so much.
It becomes unconscious.
That he's just, you just, your body just kind of does it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I forget to do it and I'll mm-hmm. feel it. I'll notice. I'll be up here. I'll be a little bit more anxious. Mm-hmm. I'll be, I just won't be as present and I won't feel as good because something that, Skip like kind of basically informed me is that there's all these happy chemicals that are being released when we squeeze muscles basically. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's why you feel this like zen, like bliss, like calm meditative state is literally like a chemical reaction is happening. Right. Which is crazy. Right.
Yeah.
So when you bring this into your exercise regimen or protocol and how we would design it in the Thrive Dojo, how we're going to design it is basically it's like a restorative exercise program. So you still could put on muscle. You could still build your endurance. You could still do whatever you want to achieve in terms of your fitness goals, but you're doing it in a way that literally restores you. And like, it's not going to leave you feeling inflamed and crappy afterwards. And if you do, then you can just lay down on the ground, do a track, and then boom, you're done. Like you're better.
And you're building a skill set to be able to, like I always used to joke with clients, like if we break it, we can fix it. Mm-hmm. Right. So we could just push as hard as you want to push because we know how to recover really easily and how to figure out what actually is going wrong before it gets bad. And so to answer your question, this is like the foundational thing and you don't really need to do more than it. Although if you want to like live that beautiful life and really like have a vivacious, like so much vitality, doing high intensity exercise is very important. But let's get the body to a place where it wants that, where you have a body you can play in is what I call it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we renamed to the Thrive Dojo so that we can create that ecosystem where people have like a safe place to learn how to exercise at that high intensity mm-hmm. and continue to get the same benefits you would get from doing regular dojo work.
You said something in there that you said earlier that I want to ask about, but you said about your body choosing or your body deciding what's right. And I thought that was interesting. Can you speak more about how you view that?
Mm-hmm. So Kyle mentioned like when you squeeze muscles, there's a secretion of happy hormones and all of these precursors to these wonderful things that make you feel loved and dopamine and all of that, right? In addition to that, and you can bumper lanes me if I go too far on anything here. In addition to that, there is literally, like I mentioned, the electricity, right? If you're familiar with like meridians, you're familiar with like mm-hmm. energy centers or chakras or whatever, right? You're actively moving energy through the body by doing this work, right? And you're actively moving electrical energy through the body by doing this work, and you're doing it in a consistent low intensity way with that whole, like, my body is perfect, and in this like loving intensity, and the way that the tracks are created and the way that my voice kind of comes into that, there's so much like magic built into that. The music is chosen very specifically. It's not an accident. The voice is done in a very specific way. It's not an accident. The little things I slip in here and there are not an accident, right? This is all building just a beautiful experience and a beautiful life for people. So there's a reason it's consistent across every single person that we take into the dojo and that experiences all this stuff, right? What's the part of that question that you want to answer?
So
your
the
body chooses.
I can answer that to some degree. Is like you may
I love what you said.
Yeah, you may not want to feel something.
Right.
Right. And so like if you don't want to confront whatever is there, or your nervous system doesn't feel like it's safe to feel that, then you might shut down from doing that,
mm-hmm.
or subconsciously you might just avoid doing that exercise that you know really helps that thing because you're not ready for it. And for whatever reason, you know, mm-hmm. there's an emotional reason why, you know, you don't do it.
Yeah.
And similarly, into meditation and what the dojo does that we can all like speak to who do it regularly is you've got you, right? The one that's like interacting with you. You've got your thoughts, which is like a separate you, mm-hmm. right? And then you've got like your body, which is the thing that you're living with.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that like a lot of emotions will come up and that's how it speaks to you, right? And that's also why as you do this work, like people have crazy emotional releases, like really beautiful things can happen, whether they feel activated or whether, and that's like, can be different for different people because you're increasing sensitivity and feeling. So things that you may not want to feel or have like hid from in the past will come up, but your body is in a safer space while you're doing this. And the more you improve the system, the less those things become intense and the more they become beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these happy hormones that you're getting by doing this work and by moving more and feeling your feelings, right? So
to that degree, it is sort of a somatic practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's not how we talk about it, even though that's what's...
And it comes up.
People, like I have cried many times during a dojo like mm-hmm. track. I have laughed many times. I have felt angry many times. You know, it's the body holds that stuff. And so when we connect to these parts of the body, that's when it comes up and that's when we feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. What do people report sexually?
Yeah. So people will have orgasms during tracks.
Is that why you said activated? You laughed and looked at it. I know what he's talking about.
Yeah. So there'll be like, let's say there's a room full of people, right? And we're doing something like, especially where we're doing like a movement that's more complex mm-hmm. and we're really activating a lot of different movements or channels or energy centers in the body, right? And you're holding that really beautiful low intensity. I'm really pulling you to be like, really feel everything that's happening here
mm-hmm.
and allow that energy to move through the entirety of your body. Keep everything gentle to the best of your ability. And you start picking up on these sensations. And the reality is over time, like for me, essentially every time I dojo, you'll start to become so aware of those happiness hormones that are getting released, which feel like an orgasm.
Yeah.
And it's like, there will be muscles in your body or movements in your body or energies in your body that, again, like the more sensitive you get. So for me, it's like every single time
mm-hmm.
where you'll feel like micro orgasms or sometimes like I've literally had people where like it's intense.
There's,
that's awesome.
There's this whole, it's like a Goldilocks zone. That if you hit it just right, like you squeeze the muscle at the right intensity and you can let go of the other muscles that are trying to contribute, but it's not their turn, you know, and you're able to isolate that muscle like individually and squeeze it at that perfect level of intensity, it's a sweet spot where it's like there's that chain reaction that just like, and you'll know when you hit it of just like, oh, it feels so good, like so good.
And the more you let go of thinking about what to do, and the more you lean into that sensitivity and like allowing your body to control the intensities and control the exact movement that you're doing. So it's kind of like you need to build this skill set to understanding like no movements are awkward. And then once you get to that point, you can start to be like, your body will be a separate thing from you that is always communicating. Like my body is always telling me interesting things and kind of pushing me in certain ways and subtle ways to do things. I mean, it can be as simple as like take a right turn here, right? Mm-hmm. And then you just get that feeling, right? And in the dojo practice, it could be like, I'll give moments where I'm like, now allow your body to move in any way it feels like it wants to. And then you'll just kind of be there and you're like, oh, it's like this weird thing. And this is there at all times. There's never like a time where it's not there. So like in your body right now, there's going to be like certain things it just kind of wants to do and squeeze and feel.
Yeah.
And the more practice you get in the dojo, you'll get really sensitive to that voice. And then, you know, people make fun of me like earlier today, like if there's music, it's really hard for me to not dance. Like it's almost impossible. I'll be like, no matter where we are, if there's music, I'm like moving because my body is its own thing. And I've become so friendly with it over the years that I want to allow it to play in whatever way it wants to play.
I like the way you said that. And I don't know. Do you have, when you're doing practicing dojo, I guess we call it, do you have certain muscles that you go to, or do you work your way through every single muscle in your body?
Everyone's got their own body map that we teach them to create, which is kind of like their sweet spots. Like he's saying, like Goldilocks zone, you kind of figure out like everyone's body will have certain things, either like
tendencies.
Yeah, tendencies. Patterns. Like you'll have a muscle where you're like, this emotion comes up every time I hit that muscle. And I always have like certain memories pop up every time I do that movement. And so you can kind of like write that down and that can go on your body map, right? And it could be a forever thing. Or you're like, oh, my right knee has issues. And every time I do my left shoulder back, those issues go away. That's on your body map.
Yeah.
And then it's like something usually pretty consistent for people.
So something that, because I'm as much of a student as I am like anything, you know, like I'm learning from him and I have the privilege of that. But,
me too.
You know, I'll notice that there's a certain pattern that if I run this pattern, I feel great. Right.
So interesting. It's
like, okay, I'm going to do my feet. I'm going to like curl my toes. Then I'm going to curl the bottom of my feet. Then I'm going to do ankles in, out. And then I'm going to do my calves. And then I'm going to do like my hips. And then I'm going to do a rotation. And then the way I walk will be way different. But what I notice is like, okay, these patterns are consistently showing up. So what I'll do is I'll prehab them, right? I'll dojo. I'll hit those muscles and then I'll hit those muscles in the gym to strengthen them even more. Now that they're super connected, to ensure that I'm patterning like proper movement mechanics and a better, stronger relationship, right? So I want to fatigue the muscles and I want to break them down so that they can build up and be stronger and then keep connecting to them through the practice of dojo and then go back to the gym, do that again. Go back to the gym. So hopefully over time, I'm not dealing with the exact same type of patterns. I don't have to give that part of my body as much attention because I already did give it the attention that it needed. Mm-hmm. Right. And I spent that time sort of developing that relationship.
Do you have a separate meditation practice?
I do.
You do?
Yeah. I do have a sitting meditation practice.
So yeah, there's one meditation right now that's in the dojo. I don't believe it's in the course that we're talking about most of the time right now. There will be, so the ecosystem will involve that. And there is a couple videos in the course that talk about feeling like making space for positive feelings every single day in everything that you do, or at least concentrated. And I believe there's a lot of benefits to meditation. And so the dojo I see more of as like a foundation for a lot of things in your life, especially physical things in your life. But meditation, intense physical exercise, these are also really important.
Okay. You know,
quality nutrition.
It just sounds so much like things that I do during meditation too. Yeah. You know, tapping into your body, really getting grounded, feeling things, feeling anything in your senses. And so
I have my practice is like I serve different purposes for me. Right? Like the dojo stuff is really, I'm gonna connect with my body. All right. And with meditation for me, it's like, I'm going to clear my mind and I'm going to allow for stuff to come in. And also I don't know about you, but I feel like it's getting harder and harder to focus. And so I feel like meditation is one of the best practices to hone and strengthen that focus muscle.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's what it is. It's training us to, I mean, that's what I always say, that it's training us to be more present in the moment and training us to focus and training us to cut out all the
And the more stuff. The more you meditate, the better you'll get at dojo.
and the more you dojo,
the better you'll get at meditating. And if you dojo,
how that works.
If you dojo before you meditate, you would drop in like that because you just drop into the theta, delta, gamma brainwaves. So then when you go to sit, you're not sitting in high beta trying to bring yourself down.
And right. your body's more comfortable.
Yes. And more like tight, you know, it's like solid. Like you can sit there and you're not going to, your shoulders aren't going to like slump. And
I know, because I'll notice sometimes and I'm like, okay, I can feel a spot I need to let go of.
You just wait.
Yeah.
Oh, you just
wait. Yeah. So the combo is really powerful, right?
Very.
Yeah.
And the mind and the body is one in the same, you know, the body and the mind is they're synonymous. So when we're connecting to the body, we're also connecting to the mind. And when we're connecting to the mind, we're also connecting to the body. In my eyes, that's how I see it.
Well, I think that there's a lot of things in the spiritual community where people would discount our body so much. And at least I've seen that in different ways. And I'm like, no, we're here. We're human. We have a body for a reason. So what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think the body is actually the most important component of the spiritual vessel, right? Because if you're sickly and you have health challenges and you're always in pain, it's kind of hard to get into your center, right?
Like, I know.
So I think it's you can't have one without the other.
I think about that sometimes, like with the stuff that I talk about, and I'm like, okay, what would this mean to somebody that's in constant pain, you know, is this really realistic for someone to do? And this is a more foundational thing that anybody could do, obviously, if you've worked with quadriplegics. And what happened with that plantar fasciitis woman? She okay?
Yeah.
She's fine.
That was...
She keeps doing
10 years ago, 11 years ago.
Wow.
Mm.
I'm pretty tripped out by it, you know, by the whole thing.
Yeah. This was it, right? Like Skip's doing this thing all the time. I'm seeing him doing it. I'm starting to do it and I'm feeling the difference. I'm like, this is, for lack of a better, this is like magic. Like,
I mean, that's what I was thinking.
Well, so,
it sounds like magic. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And I guess like it was like, there was a certain point where I was like, Skip, can I just buy this from you? And like, you license it to you? Cause I feel so called to share this, and I'm already sharing so much health and wellness stuff as an affiliate, but I was like, no, this is like, this is the thing I could sell forever, you know,
because
everyone has a body, I think.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. I mean, we'll just,
right.
We'll shelve that. Right. But everyone has a body. Everyone can lay down, listen to this, connect with their muscles and completely change not only how they move through the world, but also how they feel and how they exist. So I kind of saw it as, okay, yeah, we can tackle it from, we're going to help you heal an injury, but then it's also like, oh yeah, we're also going to like help you heal your anxiety. And as a byproduct, when you heal your anxiety, what else happens, right? Like maybe your gut issues go away, right? And then now you're not malnourished and now you have tons of energy. And now because you have tons of energy, you go and create something really great in the world. And then because you created something great in the world, like you save someone's life. And so like, there's just like such a ripple and downstream effect that happens as a byproduct of you just connecting to your muscles.
So
wild.
Yeah. So the reality is it's sort of infinite. And the quest that we're on, Kyle and I are on right now, the whole dojo community, is to see how we can serve and talk to more people. And for me, it's really just to be available to anyone who wants to learn and whatever experiences they want to have and create the content that is valuable for them. And so I try to talk to as many people as I love getting emails from the customers, and I get on Zooms with as many of them as I can. And I have constant one-on-one experiences where I'm able to kind of like walk them through. And it's the same reaction every time where people are like, what the heck is happening? And I'm like, what do you want to learn? And then it's just figuring out how to put that into a form that can be consumed by the whole community and not overload them, because there is so much to learn. And Kyle is doing a great job at kind of keeping me in one lane mm-hmm. and saying like, let's help people in this one way for now, because I'm like the, I see the entire universe of what's possible mm-hmm. and I want to create it all for them. So really the most valuable thing for me is to just hear from people and be like, what experience are you having and what's the next one you want to have? And then I'll have interviews like this where I'll just go off and off and off. And then they're like, wow, those seven things, can I hear about that? And like, I got you. Absolutely. And it's really like, I could just for years could just sit here and keep teaching and keep describing things. So it's so valuable for me to like have these experiences with people who aren't in this world and be like, oh, what is interesting to you? Because the reality is we have like these 17 emotions, right? That David Hawkins lays out in this body, all the way from shame, all the way up to enlightenment, right? And what I've come to learn in the dojo is because sensitivity is our number one thing, these 17 emotions coexist at all times. The question is, can you feel them? And are they wonderful for you to experience? And eventually they do become wonderful for you to experience. And that means you can be more playful. That means you can be more sad. That means you can be more ashamed of yourself, but it doesn't have to last so long. And you can be more joyful and you can be more enlightened and you can be more courageous and more angry and more fearful. And it's all a beautiful experience when you have that level of sensitivity and your body feels safe. And your body can feel physiologically safe when we do this work and when we do this practice. And this is something that we do foundationally for ourselves.
It's more human.
Mm.
It's more of this experience. It's more alive.
I think.
I think so too. I think we can just go ahead and say that. Let's do. Yeah.
I could be wrong about all of that.
Yeah.
No, it's super fascinating. And just to speak to what you talked about, like with me. So before we got started, you just gave me a little taste of what you do. And one of the things was when I lifted up my right shoulder, I could feel it like from where my neck and shoulder connect, and it hurt kind of. And I was like, it just felt like tension. Like you would go like, hey, rub my shoulders, you know, but I didn't even realize it was hurting until we did that. It hurt. And I was like, huh, it feels like the muscle's like tied in there and it hurts. And then after we did this practice, which was not on that muscle, it was on one that's, you know, not too far away. But after we did that, now I don't feel that anymore. I'm moving it faster this time, but you were having me move it very slowly. But yeah, so
this is the crazy part, right? And this is why I'm so passionate about this and everything that I'm doing right now is like, we believe that the best products in the world usually have the worst marketing. All right.
like what? Give me an example.
So for example, everyone thinks that because you have a tight shoulder, you should go to a massage.
Oh yeah. Right.
Or you should go take a foam roller and smash it.
Or those, like those vibrating things.
Yes. 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 The Theraguns. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
No, just to be fair. Those things have value.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Sure.
Maybe to me. Okay. The reason why this is so valuable to me and why I want to share it and why I feel so passionate is, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are struggling with their health. They're either in pain, they have some type of symptoms or disease or issue that they're dealing with, and they're being given solutions that don't work. And why I love the dojo is every single time. I have not met one person, I personally, maybe Skip has, I haven't met one person that does not see benefit almost immediately. And that's hard to find for anything.
For anything.
Any industry. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It works. We don't have to argue. We don't have to defend. We don't have to. You just do it. You let us know.
Yeah, there's no convincing. And that was my process for all these years was I kept saying like, how could this work faster? Like what really matters? What's the essential ingredient? And I just kept saying like, I want to get this to the point where like I could die tomorrow and people will benefit forever quickly. And that's why like what you experienced there and how fast that result, like how many times have you
13 years.
Yeah.
It took to get to that,
to that.
And
point.
That's not even good. Like we're going to get so much better.
Yeah. That
better.
Was like yeah. in here. Yeah. Yeah.
No. But what I mean, in terms of the speed of how quickly you felt up, like it'll get instant, right? Like wow. It took us 10 minutes to like get there. It will be instant eventually as we refine this process and get it even better and better and better.
Wow. And it and your body tends to meet you where you're at. So what I say that meaning is I will meet someone who is a deeply physical person, an elite athlete, right? Jeff Agustinelli, who lives here in Austin. Mm-hmm. And we'll work together for a little bit. He'll do some experiences. He'll go for a run. And this is a guy who does like a 100-mile race, ultra runner, right? And he'll be like, wow, my run felt so different, like this and this and all these biomechanical things. And then I'll meet someone like this guy I met in Tulum the other day, who's deeply spiritual, who's done all the Joe Dispenza work, who's done all of the John DeMartini work, who's done spiritual retreats with like monks in South America and the Himalayas, right? And I'll do this work and he'll be like, I saw God while I was midway. So it really, like I'm saying, meets people where they're at and where they're ready. Or we'll have someone who will have an orgasm or cry immediately the first time they ever do it. So the thing there is like the analogy I use, which I explained to you, is most of the time, the way that people look at the body is if you hire five cleaners to come into this whole studio, which is actually quite large, by the way, and the five cleaners come in, two of them throw grilled cheese on the ground and just like mess everything up. And three of them do a lot of extra work. The three that did a lot of extra work are the ones that complain to you about the other two. When you don't know how to hear them, when you don't know how to hear the muscles that are complaining, you end up trying to squash and beat up those muscles. You're really targeting the symptoms and you're firing the three good cleaners, not the two that were messing things up, because they will never communicate to you. They want to keep getting paid to do nothing or hurt the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So then the question becomes like, well, how do we find the two that are causing the issues, right? And we can't just beat them up when we find them. We have to help them somehow. We have to like talk to them, right? You're never going to get new muscles. So we've got to heal them. We've got to spend time with them, send love to them somehow. And that's what the six zone assessment is all about. And that's why sensitivity is everything in the dojo, is you're becoming sensitive to, hey, I see that you were throwing grilled cheese on the ground. Like, how can we help that? Right. And so that's the process of the six zone, but that's also the process of the dojo entirely, is becoming so aware of the communication that your body is giving you, that your mind is giving you, that your emotions are giving you, that your spirit is giving you.
And it spills over into like how we started, which was presence
and allowing it the opportunity to heal if it feels like that's a good thing for it. So none of this is forceful. All of this is giving it an opportunity to get better, where when you do like a massage, you're like, oh, this muscle is tight. I'm going to make it loose. Your body's perfect. I don't know if that's a good thing. I'm just not sure. So that's why I'm like, it's not a bad thing per se, although I don't know if it's good either. Where when I'm sitting there and we're going super low intensity, squeezing something, spending time with that muscle, it has an opportunity to change or not. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm always shocked. And this is like, you're 1700 people deep on this or something, one-on-one with me, where I'm like, oh, wow, really, that feels better. That's crazy to me. Like, because I never know what it's going to do, you know? And like I said, like some people, I'll do the same thing and they'll have an orgasm, or they'll cry, or they'll scream, or they'll laugh. And I'm like, tell me about that. Like, what did your body just decide was a good idea?
I think it would be like enlightening to tell her about just like what you've noticed and how my personality has changed as a byproduct of.
There's a lot of other things Kyle has done over the years too. So
yes, that's true.
Sure,
but this has been consistent.
Sometimes it's hard to pinpoint the one thing, but yes.
Could I operate under the assumption, or should we explain what coherence is for your audience?
Why don't you explain?
Okay.
Yeah.
So coherence is usually referred to as like your heart has a certain frequency and a rhythm and a pattern, and your brain has a certain frequency and a rhythm and a pattern. And usually coherence is like, are those two things operating together, right? Mm-hmm. So the thing that the dojo sort of introduces is that there is also a body coherence, and fortunately, unfortunately, the brain and the heart are encapsulated inside the body, right? So I really look at them all as like one thing connected by that electrical system that I referenced. And so if that electrical system is improving, the heart and the brain are also improving. And as you go around the body and as you maybe reduce frequencies in some places, again, you're not doing it intentionally. Mm-hmm. You're just going through each of these areas, these movements, these flows, right? in either a track or the six zone assessment and doing it on your own, listening to hopefully beautiful music, hopefully smiling while you're doing it, hopefully mm-hmm. understanding that your body is perfect. You got all these positive associations happening, positive emotions coming through as you do it that somewhat are physiological and somewhat are induced by like what I'm saying, or the fact that you're spending any time healing your body is a beautiful experience, right? As you're doing all of that, I call it body coherence, right? Because now it's like, if you're thinking that this has a frequency and a rhythm and a pattern, and this does, so does everything in this physical form and the stuff that's maybe around it that you are affecting by improving the electrical connection, the frequency, therefore the vibration of it, right? The same reason you might wear like an amethyst crystal, or the same reason that when you go to certain places on Earth that have different minerals that are different magnetisms and frequencies that will affect you, right? Or different people that are around you who mm-hmm. like if someone has like a really beautiful frequency and they come into that room, you're like, whoa, like everyone knows. Mm-hmm. Some people know more and some people are more sensitive to that or less sensitive. 100% of people are aware, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a surprise. Even the least sensitive person is like, who are you? Right? There's yeah. an awareness there. So as you get that body coherence, the brain and the heart go into more coherence as well. And that coherence means that communication can just happen more freely. And so what's happened to Kyle over the years is he always knew me as like this very kind of unabashed, intense, very present, very extremely playful. People would call me like way too playful a lot of the time, right? Just really intense individual, right? And Kyle has become very similar, right? You become more of who you are, a lot more of who you are as you go into this coherence, because you can hear your heart. You can hear your thoughts more clearly. You can hear your body more clearly. And then you want to lean into it because it does feel so good to lean into that alignment, as you will. And then like he said earlier many times, if you slip out of that, it's really loud and it becomes more, and you're like, oh, okay. I need to get back into that. I know what that mm-hmm. feels like now. Yeah. And the pendulum's always swinging back and forth, right? And this is just another one of those tools that helps you come towards center. And like you mentioned, meditation helps you come towards center, right?
Yeah.
Running is a very awesome tool that helps you come towards center.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. What's your daily practices like? Like, what's your day like?
Kyle should answer that.
Kyle should answer that.
Yeah, I live a pretty interesting lifestyle, I would say. So does Skip, but I have his channel where I talk about biohacking and mm-hmm. lifestyle optimization and all that stuff. So I'm always testing different things, but I'll give you perspective. Today, I woke up at 7:30, got a hot cup of water, walked outside, watched the sunrise.
A hot cup of water?
Yeah, a hot cup of water.
Okay.
Stimulates the digestive system.
All right.
Yeah. Then came back inside, had some AIP pudding, which is a gelatin like pudding thing. It's good for gut health.
Okay.
And then had my breakfast, had some organic fermented apple kefir.
Okay.
Which is like good probiotics, mm-hmm. again, gut health thing. And then I went to the coffee shop and did a little bit of work with my buddy.
Did you have coffee?
No coffee.
No.
I don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
And then I went to the gym, met him at the gym. We hit the gym, then the sauna. And now we're here.
No ice bath?
No ice bath. I used to do a lot of ice baths, but if you do, this is something I wish I would have learned a long time ago that I wish someone would have told me. If you do a lot of ice baths, it can be really hard on the thyroid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I have thyroid.
It's temperature
stuff.
Regulation is what thyroid does a lot mm-hmm. of. Yeah. Energy, temperature.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, okay. If you're prone to those type of issues, then you should be aware of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah.
So,
interesting.
You know,
and I've sold a lot of cold plunges and it was a big part of like my...
Oh yeah. We talked about that a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love cold plunges, and like part of, I guess, what I'm teaching and learning and helping other people with is like learning the nuances of when things are appropriate and when they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's a lot of stuff that might be good for you at certain times, and there's a lot of stuff that might be good for you at other times, even as simple as breath work. Like, a lot of people will practice holotropic breathwork or Wim Hof breathwork, and those are great, amazing tools at certain times. But that's also a sympathetic overstressor of going mouth-mouth breathing. So if you're dealing with any, you know, systemic or chronic health issues, or you're feeling extra stressed on that day, or you're just under a lot of stress in general, it might not be a good breath pattern for you. You might want to go with a nose-nose breathing That's yeah. really gentle. That's a 4 in, 6 out, right? And that will calm you, put you into a more parasympathetic state, a very mm-hmm. restorative type of breathing. And so that would be an example of like
some
of the things that I do, right?
That's great advice yeah. too. Like I love that really balanced attitude about it too.
Yeah.
And it's part of really tuning in and listening to your body and staying in that awareness, you know?
Yeah. And that's what the dojo helps you do is cultivate, yeah. Is this right for me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, let me just check in real yeah. quick, right?
And it probably gives you a really beautiful attitude toward other people and being compassionate about what's right for one person may not be right for another.
Totally. You know? And I think that's something I'm learning more and more is I used to think this is the way, this is the way,
right.
this is the way.
I think that's really a common thing.
Yeah. Cause you find something that works for you and you're like, okay, let me ride this, you know, and like, let me tell everyone about this. And I'm mm-hmm. I'm a promoter and I want to help other people mm-hmm. with what I learn. And so I found myself just doling out like, this is the solution. This is the solution. But there's just way too many distinctions and way too many things that we don't know.
Yeah.
And so I'm now speaking with a lot more caveats and asterisks now about what I believe and what I think. It's like, this might be good, maybe, for some people at certain times.
But now you found this one good system that is good for everybody.
Yes, yes. It's pretty hard.
Because it makes us realize everything's not good for everybody all the time.
Exactly. And it's pretty hard to argue that gently squeezing your muscles while you're laying down could ever harm
right,
you or hurt
right.
you. And that's the beauty of it too. And that's why I feel so in integrity with being unabashed about how I promote it and speak about it and just share, because yeah. everyone can benefit from squeezing their muscles gently and connecting with their body and giving themselves some TLC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some tender love and care.
Just improve the system just a little.
Just a little bit.
And you know, that being said, this process of being able to have communication with your muscles and communication with your body, when you do something like a cold plunge, you can like check it afterwards. And
yeah.
if your body is freaking out and your frequencies are really low. And so like I did that with all sorts of things. Like I went and did cryo when it was becoming a big thing years ago. And then I would go and check my levels of sensitivity. And for days it was lower. And I'm like, that's not okay. If it's desensitizing me and that's my number one priority,
wow.
like maybe you feel better. I'm not saying cryo is bad, but for my body, I was just like, wow, I'm so much less sensitive for 2, 3, 4 days.
When you say less sensitive, that means
you can't connect.
I couldn't connect. I couldn't feel things. And if you can't feel it, then it's not communicating. That's like, I'm going to do this like therapy session with like my wife, right? And then for 4 days, she won't talk to me. That's not good.
Well,
and she's upset
liked
about
it because they felt like, oh, I could only feel pain there and now I can't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so maybe it's good. Maybe it's not. It's more of like the dojo kind of gives you an idea of what it's doing to the muscular side of it, the movement side of it all. Mm-hmm. And the second thing that's just so wonderful about how we're creating the dojo is it's a skill set that you get for life, that there's nothing you need. You just need your body and to learn how to do it and why you do it at all. And it's for the rest of your days, you've got this skill set. And it's so easy to teach your friends and family. It's so easy to do it together. If you have a significant other or kids and you do it with them, there's like an energy thing that happens
really
there.
It's great for connecting.
If you come to that live experience at Soho House, you'll see there's like mm-hmm. a bonding that happens because we're all in this like energy vortex together yes. when you're squeezing things and
electricity's just flying everywhere.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
And it's a thunderstorm.
Yeah. It's like a beautiful, beautiful thing. So
it's amazing.
You know, you can do it anywhere, any place. There's not like continuing education that you need. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a skill set. It's a tool that I gave you a hammer and that hammer never rusts.
That's right. Well, you already had the hammer actually.
Yeah.
You're just teaching them how to use it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And as we're wrapping up, is there anything that you didn't get to say today that you really want to say, or anything that you'd like to reiterate, or anything on your heart that's coming up that you want to share before we finish, before we wrap up?
I have questions, but I don't really have any statements.
Like what?
I'm so curious why you do this.
You
I
are?
Feel like oh. I can feel like a lot of like deep wisdom and knowledge in your brain. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, like what if just as a selfish thing, self-full thing, I should even say, mm-hmm. like what would be like the three greatest like one sentences that you've learned doing this whole thing in this life?
Oh, to just get over our minds holding us back. So much of what I do is about that. And the older I get, the more I've learned that we are holding ourselves back. So open your mind and open your heart, and you can keep getting better all the time if we just allow ourselves. And that's why when I hear something like this, I'm like, yes, let's talk about it. Let's lift up that voice. And I've just noticed too, I'm sorry, this is more than three sentences, but I've noticed too, all the things that I've done consistently through my life were all related to my voice, which, you know, our voice chakra is right between our crown chakra and our third eye and our heart. And it's just, it's so important to me about voice, whether it was music or radio or anything that I've done. And so I had a vision, actually. I had a vision a couple of years ago of using my voice and helping others feel stronger in their own voices. And so that's what it's all about for me. So I'm here to just get vulnerable and learn and keep getting better. Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking.
The last thing I want to say is just that if you're listening to this or you're watching this or somehow you meet Amy and you stumble upon this, then just give it a try. You know, definitely give it a try and have an experience, because once you feel it, that's where you'll really have an understanding that's like embodied. That's not just like a thinking understanding. And if you start to practice it, just pay attention to how your life starts to change, right? Notice how you feel before, notice how you feel after. Simplest way to see if it's working, and it always works.
I'm going to report back too, because I'm curious, like just from the small thing that we did in a few minutes, like what I'll feel, what I'll notice. You know, I like tuning into my body because I feel like I've spent many years not. And so it's very interesting to me to really get in touch with that and see, you know, what changes.
And you different. Know what I found is really interesting is like 85% of the audience is female.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think we tend to numb ourselves more. I mean, I've been doing a lot of episodes on sexuality. And when you talked about not feeling stuff, that's a very common thing with women is not feeling things during sex. And we've created this numb space. And it's about really tuning into the sensations and getting back in touch with our body. Cause I mean, like I have even had times in my life where I was like, I don't even think there's like nerve endings there, but there are, you know, like you can't.
I want you to imagine how different that might feel after you've dojoed for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm sold. I'm in. Yeah. So let's tell everybody how they can get in on this and how they can find out.
Totally.
More.
Yeah. The best place to find out more is just go to thethrivedojo.com/course.
And so, I'll have the link right in the show notes.
Yeah. So. thethrivedojo.com/course. And yeah, just check out the course or find us on YouTube. I'm Kyle Got Camera. Skip Kelly on YouTube. Right. And there's a lot of videos on both channels about the dojo and how it works and our stories and all that stuff.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that you guys came on. Is there anything else we missed? Anything we need to address before we go?
I feel complete.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm complete too.
Okay, good. Yeah. I am too then. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much for showing up and giving and sharing all this and for what you're building and putting out there in the world. What a difference with the ripple effect that you were talking about.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Skip, so much. And everybody go check it out and it'll be in the show notes. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yeah. Huge, enormous thanks to Kyle and Skip for being here today. Please check out thethrivedojo.com. And I hope to see this expand into a practice because, I mean, how mind-blowing is that? I can't wait to do more. As they were stepping out, Kyle was talking about, I watched a video of him. He was talking about how he has trained as an MMA fighter. So I'm excited to share this with Justin and to actually practice it in our lives. So stay tuned to my social media too, because I'm going to be talking about how this has affected my life as I've practiced it. And I'll be talking on this show too. So please subscribe to the newsletter too. It's at amyedwards.com, or it's on my link tree on my socials, which I'm at Real Amy Edwards on Instagram, or at The Magic Babe on TikTok. And of course, you can find these guys at Kyle Got Camera on YouTube or on Instagram. But he's mainly, you know what, we talked about his run of his day, but he didn't mention this. When I met him, he was talking about how he only responds to emails and only checks his social media during a very select group of hours during the day. I think it was from 1 to 4 every day. And so I found that fascinating too, like so disciplined and impressive. And so who knows, maybe he's the next ping pong champion, right? And you can find Skip at Skip Kelly. And of course, just simply also go to thethrivedojo.com for anything. And it's in the show notes too. So I'm excited to hear feedback about this too and what you thought of it. And if you've practiced it, maybe you have. And I love that they're so intentional about it, because we've been talking about intentions. If you missed Monday's episode, we talked about that too. So stay intentional. Remember that everything is perfect. Your body is perfect. What a liberating thought that is, isn't it? I love it. Carry that forward today. And again, thanks to these guys. Thank you for being here, for showing up for yourself. You don't know how grateful I am. Like immensely, immensely grateful that you're here. I can feel it in my heart. It almost makes me cry. That's how much I mean it. And thanks to Alyssa. Thanks to our team at Hot Pie for the way that they're showing up too. All right. I love you. Your body's perfect. Everything's perfect. Till next time.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked this show, please rate and review. It totally matters. And I encourage you to spread the love too, and share this episode with a friend if you feel called.